to be able to worship and praise our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you sitting out there saying, bless his heart. You know, in the South, you can say whatever you want to after you say, bless their heart. Bless his heart, he thinks today is Easter. He thinks today is the resurrection day. No. You realize that we go to church on Sunday because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Before Jesus rose from the dead, no one went to church on Sunday, the first day of the week. Because Jesus rose on the first day of the week, we are to go to church on the first day of the week so that we will always remember what he did for us. So that's why it's so important for us to go to church on the first day of the week, to remember what Jesus did for us. He paid all of our debt. He paid our sin. He paid the price of sin. And because of what he did, we can be assured of everlasting life. Amen. If you got your Bible with you this morning, if you'll turn over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. If there's anyone here today for your first time, please come back and visit our church again. Because Kevin, our pastor, he is off and gone. He's on a, a 7 or 8 day whirlwind evangelistic trip. And I'll tell you, I love that guy, and I'm so proud of him for listening to the call of God and doing those things. And that's what we're going to talk about a little while this morning. I know Kevin has used these verses before, and I've used these verses. But last week when Kevin was preaching, and I'm sure all of you remember exactly the sermon. You could probably preach it again this morning. If I just came out there and picked anyone out of the congregation, you could probably tell that whole sermon all again, right? Maybe, maybe not. But there was a portion of that service last week that just absolutely just stuck in my mind, and God started dealing with me instantly. It's when, if you'll remember, last week Kevin was preaching out of the book of Acts chapter 9, the key verse was verse 6. It's where Jesus met Saul on the Damascus Road, and when it was all said and done, Saul asked Jesus, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Now, if you go and read those accounts over there, you'll see that eventually Saul, Jesus struck him blind for 3 days, and after that 3 days, as soon as he got his sight back, he immediately went and started preaching in the synagogues. He immediately started working for the Lord. He answered the call of God. And that's what I want to talk to us all about this morning is God is calling. God is still calling today. And I thought about that over in the book of Isaiah. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, what God has given me this week to share with you folks. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we could say thank you from now to eternity, and it wouldn't be enough. So we just say thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather like this in your name. And Father, as we gather here this morning and we look at your words, your precious holy words, your words that you have left for us for instruction and how to live our lives and to see all the things that you have for us. And as we look at these words today, we pray, Father, that we would see exactly what you would have us to see. I pray, Lord, that it would touch every heart that you have prepared for it to do this morning. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would be better Christians, better people for being in this place today. And we pray most of all, Lord, that you'd be glorified. I pray, Father, that you'd lead my lips and my thoughts. And I pray, Lord, that we'll give this message as you have it intended. I pray, Lord, that this congregation would hear it as you'd have it to be intended. And I pray, Lord, that we would take it and use it in our lives, that we'd be better Christians, better people. Father, we also pray today for Kevin. We know, Lord, that he is out there spreading the gospel. And we pray, Father, that he'd have a harvest for his efforts. We just say thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. because we prayed it in the most blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn this thing on. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. I want to look down through verse 8. We'll see whatever else God has for us this morning. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Folks, we know for a fact, according to the historians, and this is a historical record right here. I mean, when we read the accounts in this Bible, these are real people. They actually live. This is real. This is not a fairy tale. This is not made up. These people are actually real, and it is a historic fact that King Uzziah lived. He died about 750 years or so before Jesus was even born. So we know about when this event took place. It says in the year that King Uzziah died, and this is Isaiah talking, the Lord allowed him to have a vision of heaven. And Isaiah is telling us here about the vision that he had. He said he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with two. He covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. Those seraphims, in other words, when they were using wings to cover their face, cover their feet, they were showing reverence to God Almighty. Verse 3 says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. I was thinking about that when they were singing that song about amen, glorifying God. These seraphims were glorifying God by saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I got to tell you this, church, as I was studying this message and looking at that right there, that one line right there that says, the whole earth is full of his glory. I thought if Brother Kevin got a hold of that, he could probably preach a whole series about the whole earth being full of God's glory. Folks, do you realize today that there's nowhere on the face of this earth that you could ever go that you could be outside of God's glory? Whoo, praise God. That ought to make a Christian shout right there. You can't get outside of where God can see you, God can protect you, and God can call you. God don't have to worry about the reception. I know out where we live, out on the mountain out there, over on Lewis Chapel side, the far Lewis Chapel side, the outside side of Lewis Chapel. I think they were trying to get rid of us, Scott. But anyway, you have to worry about whether your reception works or not. And sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, it'll be gone. Then you got to call back, it'll be gone. There's nowhere on the face of this earth you can't get deep enough in a hole or high enough in the air that you're not within God's voice. Whoo! That's not even part of the message. That was free. The Bible goes on to say, verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. Woo, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, again, this is Isaiah penning these words. Listen to what he says next. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a man of God. Isaiah was supposed to be up close to the Lord. But you notice when he got in the presence of God, all he could do was fall on his face and say, whoa, I am undone. In other words, what he was saying is, I'm a sinner. I am undone. I'm a sinner. Folks, when we get into the presence of God, that's the reaction that every single one of us are to have, because God is so holy and we are sinners. goes on to say in verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." The altar in heaven. A seraphim came by. Can you just see that? Took a set of tongs and took one of the hot coals off of there. Verse 7 said, "And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." That coal that they were taking off of the altar, that fire, represents purification. It represents forgiveness. So that tells me that all we have to do is confess our sins in front of the Lord, just like Isaiah did, and God is willing to forgive us of those sins. As a matter of fact, he tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's exactly what he did right there. He purged or cleansed Isaiah. And he goes on to say, and this is the key verse I want us to talk about just for a few minutes today. He says, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." We need to think about that just for a few minutes this morning and let that sink in. You know, I said I wanted to talk about God's calling. God is always calling. God calls us here in the 21st century through His Holy Spirit. And God is always putting out a call. God is always calling for the lost to be saved. We're in a time of God's mercy and God's grace, and God wants everyone to be saved. Now, I'll say this. There's many, many people in this congregation. I don't really know you folks. But the statistics will tell us that in a crowd this size, that there are souls that are not saved. Now, it may be that they have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It may be that some are just trying to get a little fire protection and they're just going to church and playing the games and not really give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I never know that. But I will say this, God is always calling us to repentance. He's always calling us to be saved. After we're saved, God does call us then. As Christians, he calls us to obedience. You know, once you're saved, you don't truly understand everything there is about Christianity. There is a time of learning that goes on there, so God is calling us to obedience. And God is calling us to service. I don't know what that service is for each individual person. God has different things for different people. We can't all do the same thing. We can't all be pastors. We can't all be song leaders. We can't all be Sunday school teachers. There's different things in the service of the Lord that he calls people to do. So God is always calling. Sometimes God will call directly to people. You know, back in the Old Testament, God called directly to Moses to go rescue his people out of bondage in Egypt and set them free. He also called out to Abraham. He said, "It's time for you to leave your father's land of Ur and go out, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you." He also called directly to Noah, and he said, "Build this boat, and you're going to save humanity." All of them obeyed God's calling. And I believe they did that because they were where they needed to be with God. And that's one of the things that is so plain to me when I read these verses right here. You notice God never said, Isaiah, will you go for us? He didn't do that. He waited until Isaiah got exactly where he needed to be with the Lord. Number one, he was up close to the Lord because he was right there in heaven with God. So he was up close to the Lord where he could hear what God had to say. You know, the Bible tells us that God speaks through a still small voice, and we've got to be where we need to be able to hear that voice. So the first thing that happened is Isaiah was where he needed to be. He was up close to the Lord. Second thing that took place is Isaiah came under conviction. And when he came under conviction, he did exactly what he needed to do. He got down on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then God forgave him. And then, and only then, God said, got something for you to do. Got something that needs to be done. Who are we going to send? And because Isaiah was where he needed to be, Isaiah's heart was where it needed to be, and God had forgiven him of his sins, Isaiah heard the call of God, and he wanted to go out and do what God had for him to do. Now, we didn't read the rest of this chapter, but if you read things that go along with this, what was God calling him to do? Well, he was calling him to do something that could probably got him killed. He wanted Isaiah to go out and tell the children of Israel, if you go ahead and read the rest of that, matter of fact, there in verse 9, it says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. In other words, God was saying, the children of Israel is out here, and they've turned away from me. They've got eyes, and they see the Word of God, but they don't do what the Word of God says. They've got ears, and people are preaching to them and telling them that what is a sin, but they don't pay that any mind. They've hardened their hearts, and they've turned away from God, and he's telling Isaiah to go tell them that. But they're fixing to go into captivity. Why? Those people could have stoned him. But Isaiah didn't care. Isaiah heard God's call because he was where he needed to be. He had repented of his sins, and God was getting ready to send him out to do his work. God does the same thing here in the 21st century. He does the same thing. He prepares his people. If we are where we should be with God, if we are listening for that still small voice, God will let us know what he wants us to do. But in the 21st century, we have somehow decided that being a Christian means to go to church and sit and soak and sour on a pew. That somebody else will do it. Well, let me tell you, folks, Christianity is not it's not a sport that you just sit and watch it. Christianity is something you get involved with. You realize that when Jesus came and he gave his life for us, he rose on the third day, and then he ascended back into heaven, he left us with some instruction. He left us with a commandment to go and spread the gospel. Do you realize that if one Christian don't tell another Christian how they were saved, that Christianity would just go by the wayside? No one would ever hear about Christianity. There's other things that needs to be done also. And we just need to be open and up where we need to be and listen for the Lord's instruction. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was driving down the road the other day, and I was thinking about this and trying to get ready for this message, answering God's call. And I was going down 153. Well, I guess at that time I was going up. I was going up that big hill right before you get to the Academy Sport and what is that, Kohl's, that's over the hill there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I went over that hill right there, and here's this guy standing out there on the street. It was that day that the wind was blowing so hard. The guy standing out there on the street, and he's got a sign that says, Trust in Jesus. Y'all seen him? He stands there all the time. Trust in Jesus. That's all he, I don't know who he is, but that's all he does. He stands there with that sign. Folks, do you realize that God may have impressed upon his heart to do that because God had one person that he knew that one day this one person was going to come down this road and they're going to be in such a state of mind. Woo, they're going to be in such a state of mind that they're going to be saying life is just not worth it. And then they may look over there at that sign and they say, trust in Jesus. That may be what changes their whole life. I don't know how many people is going to be touched by that guy standing there with that sign that says trust in Jesus. And I'm sure that guy that's standing there with that sign don't know how many people is going to be touched by that sign. But all he knows is God told him to go out there and stand with a sign that says trust in Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're in this building today, God's calling you to do something. God's calling you to do something. The only way you're ever going to know what he's calling you to do is be where God wants you to be. Be in the have your soul where it needs to be and ask for God's forgiveness. And he will show you what he wants you to do. God will show you. We just need to be up close to the Lord. We need to be where we can hear that still small voice. If you're here today, now I will tell you this, I got two pages of notes. And I don't think I've used none of them. I will tell you this, when I type my notes out, I sit there and type them out at my computer. And I spell so bad, sometimes spell check says, huh? But as I type those notes, I just try to keep an open mind and let God show me what he wants me to do. And I really think ever since I've come into this place today, it's been about God's calling. Just like these dear folks right here answered God's call. It's about God's calling. And I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you because I care about you this morning. I might not know you, but I care about you because God wants me to care about you. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I promise you he's calling you right now. Because number one, you're where you need to be. You're in the house of the Lord. And God is calling to you. And you need to prepare yourself so you can hear what God is saying to you this morning. And if God's dealing with your heart this morning, you need to stop the games. You need to get really serious about the Lord. And you need to let him save your soul. And the way that you do that is just confess your sin. You don't have to confess your sins to any single person in this room. That's between you and God. But just tell God that you know you're a sinner and that you believe that he did send Jesus Christ and he did put him on that cross to die for our sins and he did raise him on the third day and you want to make him the Lord of your life. Today, today is the day to do that. If you're here and maybe you've been saved for a while and you just haven't been serving the Lord, or why don't you just draw up just a little bit closer to the Lord this morning? Why don't you just pull up? Why don't you just do exactly what Isaiah did and just give it to God? You don't have to give it to me or anybody else in this room, just you and God. You notice that's what this was all about. It was between Isaiah and the Lord. And that's exactly the way we are today, just you and him, and do business with him. You might say, well, Brother Ed, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. God can't use me. Yeah, he can. I heard a story one time, and I want to share it with you, and then I'm going to close. And this is about us hearing God's call and serving him and not letting the devil tell us that he can't use us because I'm a broken vessel. He can't use me. I heard a story, and it's kind of a parable. Now, what a parable is, it's a story that we can relate to, but it helps us in our spiritual life. So, I heard a story about a kingdom had a lot of servants. And this one servant, his job was to carry the water for the kingdom. So all he did all day, every day, he had a pole that went across his back, had a vessel on each end of it. And he carried this pole. And his job all day long was to go down to the river, carry water back to the kingdom. That was his job. One of the vessels had a hole in it, and it was always leaking water. One day as he was walking down to the river, the vessel says, "You should get a new vessel because I'm not worthy to be trying to carry the water for the king because all my water is leaking out." He said, "I am not worthy." And the servant that was carrying the pole, he told that vessel, he said, "I always carry you on the same side." And he said, "What I want you to do is look up through there on the side that you're on." On the opposite side, it was this bare ground, terrible looking, rocks, thorns. But on the side that the broken vessel was on, it was the most beautiful flowers you ever saw. Flowers of all kinds, all colors. And the servant that was carrying the pole, he said, "Because you water those flowers every single day, one of the other servants comes out and cuts a bouquet every day that sits on the king's table so that the king can look at your work." The king. So that broken vessel that felt so bad and thought he wasn't worth anything, the king was seeing their work every single day. Every day. I want to tell you today, church, God sees your work every day. Whatever he has called you to do, it may not be evangelism like Kevin is doing all over the United States. It may not be a Billy Graham. It may be standing on a street corner holding a sign that says, "Trust in Jesus." But if we are where we want to be with the Lord, we'll have a servant's heart, whatever that may be. Scott, would y'all come this morning and get a song of invitation? Before we can hear the call of God, we got to be where we need to be with God. Maybe you never have heard a call of God in your life or on your life. Maybe you just need to come and do business with the Lord this morning. Maybe you just need to bow down before the Lord just like Isaiah did. Maybe you just need to cry out to the Lord, "Forgive me, Lord." Maybe you just need to come and say, "God, save me this morning. I'm a wretched sinner that needs salvation." If you stand to your feet this morning, what I'd like for you to do, what I would recommend for you to do, is exactly what God would ask you to do. Even standing right there in that seat, you can get alone with the Lord. Even in the middle of a crowd, you can get alone with God, because there is nowhere on the face of this earth you can go that God can't hear you, that God won't speak to you. So if God deals with your heart this morning, why don't you come? You might say, "Well, preacher, I don't pray. I don't even know what to say." If you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. There's other people in this room right here that'll pray right beside you and be glad to do it. Why don't you come this morning? Let God have his way and maybe answer the call of the Lord this morning. 161, sing.